zanyane Nangala watu zameta rikasa zalane zena Nangala watu zameta rikasa zalane zena Tisi na hareni ya choni ya venga jepi na manje ya Tisi na hareni ya choni ya venga jepi na manje ya
That's the Madagascar All-Stars featuring my favorite accordionist, Regis Zhivago, in a nifty Malagasy tune, Idola Zaunyani, which means misery doesn't mean sadness. It's from their debut album, The Madagascar All-Stars, of 2009. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. And it is Free Your Mind Friday. There should be no shortage of topics that you would want to discuss today, considering what happened yesterday. So let's get started at 888-874-4888. What's on your mind? You can talk about the topics we discussed this week. You could talk about anything that you think warrants further discussion and debate. It's all up to you. It's all up to you at 888-874-4888. All righty. Let's hear what you have to say. Mahat, you are starting us off today.
Yes. Good morning to the beloved family.
Thank you.
I tell you, I have so many things to say, but I know I have to tear it down. First of all, this situation in Syria, I think sites and journalists at Global Research, I think they're providing some very good information. I think about this idea of a civil war versus what seems to be what's really happened as proxy wars. Turkey against the Kurds, Saudi Arabia and Iran, and the U.S. and Russia. I think that's an important distinction. I also want to address, a brother was calling in from Tokyo, and I didn't recall his name, but he was bringing up some interesting points, and I want to say something. He mentioned Alex Jones. I first heard Alex on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie, and he seemed to be pretty dynamic around understanding September 11th, 01, and some other things. But then as you listen and you get to know him, you find out he's for false childbirth, you know, the same Republican points. David Icke made the point because David used
you're all over the place. Tell us what is your tell us what is your chief point today, so that we can focus in.
And also the idea that Bannon is a non-interventionist. If you look at Steve Bannon's work, he really looks to have a global war with Islam, so that might have been his posture. But when you look at his background, it's something else together. And I just, in terms of closing down the point on Alex Jones, when Trump came on the scene, his racism and his white supremacy came to the fore, as spoken to by David Icke, who I think is a very interesting character and gives us a map around consciousness and what's really going on in the world. Those are my main points, and thank you.
All right. Well, thank you for starting us off today. From Connecticut, Gabrielle, you're on the air.
Hello, Teresa. Hello? Gabriel.
Okay. I thought it was Gabriel.
Can you hear me clearly?
Not too clearly. You're kind of muffled.
Oh, well, it is. That's not good.
Okay. You're sounding a little better, though. Let's go.
How's this?
Let's give it a shot. Let's
give this a shot. You know, you said
you're sounding really good now. I can hear you clearly.
Okay, well, let me just clear this up and try to get some points across without being interrupted. And I know you had said that there is no shortage of topics to discuss in light of the events that took place yesterday. But yeah, yesterday was a far gone conclusion that took place 20 years ago as far as redefining the Middle East, looking after the interests of the oil barons and the Federal Reserve banking system that the Rothschilds love to infiltrate in all these other nations so they can run their fiat currency. The bankruptcy is here. The fiat currency is, as we know, is not backed by any gold, but it is a continuous festering financial system that needs to have the fiat debt system operating, because there's no other choice but a whole entire collapse of the system, and to have us work on a different type of currency and economic structure. And those in power don't have the courage or the guts or the intelligence to have a proper substitution for this fake currency, and also a proper substitution for the fossil fuel industry, which both are relics, both are obsolete. And the media, my God, I am deeply ashamed with the controlled opposition of the media. And I have to say, to my very deep disappointment, that Amy Goodman of Democracy Now! Fits in that category. And you may have some contrary points of view, but I think that she falls in that category, just like Alex Jones. They fall into that category.
But today we seem very much to be, honing in on individuals. I thought we would deal with the event. It was very significant, wouldn't you agree?
Well, the event itself, here lies the problem. The event itself has been spoon-feed us to the masses by these different vehicles. It's been piped in to us to inform us by what? The media. You would not know. Your listening audience would not know. Gary Noel would not know unless you had a media, mainstream media, alternative left media, alternative right media, and also the controlled opposition media feeding us this information. If they didn't exist, we would not have a discussion or a proper template to discuss, to have a verbal discourse. And Amy Goodman, and it's to my disappointment, has fallen tiptoe and line in step to the narrative of not investigating the sarin gas that was actually orchestrated by the Hillary Clinton back in 2012 when she gave it to the rebels, not to the Assad regime, which is terrible, but gave it to the rebels under ISIS, who really are corrupt, bankrupt Sunni Iraqi Republican guards who have no money and who are mercenaries.
And let me ask you this question, and I want to be as specific as possible, not wide-ranging, although I do appreciate the fact there is a wider perspective on the U.S. attack yesterday in Syria.
Yes.
What should we be concerned about the president's action?
Oh, you can take your pick on what we should be concerned about the president's actions. The deepest visceral point, if I can be pinpoint and succinct, is that he is now a puppet of the oligarchs. He does not have the backbone of being the man who shoots from the hip, asks questions later. I'm going to try to take care of the corruption in the government. I'm going to take care of the IRS. I'm going to take care of the Bar Association. I'm going to get rid of all these crazy different vehicles or apparatus that he promised that he was going to take care of during his election. He has fallen hook, line, and sinker into the narrative of a false reality. And that's what we should be concerned with. We should be concerned with that. Oh. He should be concerned that he looks at graphic pictures and somehow gets a cabinet brief, less than 48 hours, and he's going to decide unilaterally to strike a foreign country without any congressional mandate, without any congressional ruling, without even looking at the proper evidence, not seeing as if it's a false flag, or seeing if these are crisis actors who have been recyclating through all these different various events in the past 5 or 6 years. This may be a sobering comment, but you have your trees. You have a way of navigating the conversation and pinpointing things, but then like a boxer in a prize fight, you switch the topic around, and then someone else has to come in with another narrative to explain themselves. And this is no time for any type of hocus pocus. We're in a crisis mode. People don't have jobs, and those who do, they are suffering, and the middle class is shrinking. And we gotta stop this. This football thing of paralysis
but
analysis.
But you know something, but you actually articulated the major problem. It should be construed in the United States as a constitutional crisis. The president, there is a procedure for the declaration of war against another nation. That did not happen. And we're not hearing anybody saying, hey, wait a minute. There's a procedure. You got to it.
The Obama administration, all the way to the Reagan administration, they all are guilty with an indictment of going unilaterally into countries without any congressional Senate mandate. It's not just
okay.
Mr.
Well, that is the major point, and I'm glad you finally got it. And that is what we needed to hear, because we are well past it in terms of media coverage, where they're going with the story. We're well way past it. It hasn't even arisen as a central point. Thank you so much for your call today and for your contribution. Roselle from Queens, you're on the air.
God bless Donald Trump. This Islamophobic base that elected him must be having conniptions. But, what's been happening in Syria, I don't know who did it, whether it was Assad or some rebel group, but enough is enough. What's been happening there for 7 years is a Holocaust, and the outside world, has an obligation to stop the absolute horrors that are going, that have been taking place there, and that he had this big Islamophobic with all his horrendous policies and the horrible things he said about Muslims, that he saw those images and it triggered one moral fiber in his being, and he acted on it, and that's a good thing. What happens going forward, I don't know. But he went from one day saying, oh, we support Assad. He was saying that throughout his campaign, Assad was his big buddy because he goes after terrorists. But then he saw those images and something clicked in him, and that's a good thing. And to psych out on all those Islamophobes who elected him, and this whole narrative about it's complicated, there's Iran, there's Russia, there's the man in the moon, it's so complicated, while our children are being gassed, while children are being barrel bombed, while children are being starved, it's not complicated, and he rose to the occasion, and I hope he keeps going, and he doesn't listen to all the Islamophobes talking about the rule of law said that never again. That was the rule of, that's the only law that counts. Never again for a Holocaust. And that's what's been happening in Syria for 7 years. And the proof is the refugee crisis. Ask a refugee from Syria, who are you running away from? And they will say, I'm running away from the...
Come up for some air for a minute. just so that we can have a conversation. That's the point of this program. Not to be yelled at and not to be hectored, but to have a conversation. By your logic, and your logic is that Donald Trump was so moved by the pictures of children. Well, of course, we know. We discussed this yesterday. I don't know if you tuned in yesterday, but one of the things we talked about propaganda, is that you disseminate information that allows people, without context, without historical references, simply to react to the information you present them. Even as you, and you clearly are very, very emotional about it, as anybody, any human being would be when you see this level of suffering. But here's a basic question. Is it in fact true? Is it true that it's Assad who did this? Nobody has proven that yet. Has it been established beyond a shadow of a doubt that it was Assad who did this? Secondly, we don't even know what gas was used. We don't know what the chemical agent was. They're not saying. Because if you identify the chemical agent, you will then be pretty well on the trail of who manufactured and provided it. It's not a big market. So we have to get some basic questions answered here. And if we have as a standard that you go to war without seeking permission from Congress, without providing definitive proof that military action, somebody's son, somebody's father, is now going to be put in harm's way to attack another country. This is not minor stuff. There is a procedure. You can't take it upon yourself because you're the president to say, well, okay, I'm moved by some pictures and I'm going to basically direct our military to go bomb another country. You have just declared war, which is a big thing. Do you understand? Oh, she's gone. This is what I mean. These are the conversations we have to have.
You have ISIS, you have how many millions of refugees?
I'm sorry?
No, that is a narrative, a false narrative in terms of the reality on the ground. That is not a country anymore. That is a Holocaust by a military regime that is inflicting it on the people, and you got the ISIS, the psychopaths on the other hand. That's what that is.
But you're missing my point. You're still saying that it doesn't matter. Rule of law does not matter. So that because in your view, and your view may be very well correct. You may be very well correct, but that is not the way the international community has organized itself to function. The world community of nations does not sanction one nation taking it upon itself to take...
It's not a nation. It's not a nation. Can you understand that?
Well, I will say it is a nation because elections have been held. You may not approve, but that does not mean it is not a nation. Look at this country.
The teenage boys, is that a police department I'm supposed to respect? No, it's not. And the same thing applies to those Muslims over there in the Middle East. That's what I have to say.
Okay, but what I would encourage you to do is to make a really strong effort at having conversations. That means you react with me, I react with you. Right. I turn off, and most right. people would, and I understand the passion that you may have about right. the subject, but this is right. called free mind, and that's, we are supposed to be engaged in discussion.
Right.
It doesn't matter if I agree or disagree with you. It doesn't right. matter whether you agree or disagree with me. It is important right. only that we give each other space to but interact with each other.
I think I responded to your point about it's a sovereign country. I think I gave you a rational response that it's not really, that's meaningless at this point to call it a sovereign country.
Well, I mean, that's you know, your opinion. It may be your opinion. Well, but I'm sure there's a sizable population of Syrians who think it is their country because they voted for a president, just like here. We have a president that a sizable portion of the country does not approve of, but he's the president.
People, you call that a civil war? I don't call that a civil war.
Well, when you have about a dozen different factions fighting each other in the same geographic space, I think it's reasonable to say it's a civil war.
All right, call it that. Call it that. I don't know about this. You know, the factions. You know, they're trying to oppose a brutal dictator who we call part of the.
No. That is a super simplistic analysis. They are all not trying to oppose a brutal dictator.
He's our buddy because he's
what they trying.
It's a moral outrage that we didn't have to support the peaceful opposition when they rose up. And of course, Assad, his attitude is, I'm not going to go after ISIS, the terrorists. I'm going to go after the reasonable people. And when they're all dead, there's only the ISIS left, and everyone's going to side with me. The whole world is going to side with me.
Well, I couldn't differ with you more. I have to say that only because your view does not take into account a range of things that are so necessary to be considered in the discussion, even if in the end you come to a particular conclusion. You are reacting viscerally to this situation without considering all these other factors that could possibly have shaped what we are experiencing and seeing now, including in the reaction of our president. We're just talking. Here's a president who blatantly broke the law.
As he started bombing
them.
And
said, I am the president, and this is what I could do. I don't care how people in the United States feel about it. I do not care about the Constitution. I do not care about Congress. I am doing my thing. And you all have to go along with it. Even if my reckless unilateral action provokes a firestorm of military reaction, and then we have a true world war. You don't seem to care about that. But we do. Many of us do. But thanks for calling. We have to move on. There are too many people on queue. Thank you so much, Roselle from Queens. Habu from Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yes, hello. Greetings.
Thank you. To you too.
Thank you. It's springtime here anyway. I'll just be very brief, but there are a couple of things that I think we are getting hung up on. And respectfully, the notion that Trump did not go through the Congress to get an authorization where there would be all this debate. I don't know what that means. I don't know what that debate means. It's so polarized. But the thing is that, you know, to the ordinary Syrian or the Chinese or the North Korean, our internal drama, also known as debates in Congress, means nothing to them. The bigger question is the morality of us going and knocking out something, being the judge, jury, and executioner. What happens internally? We saw what happened with the Iraq War, right? They voted on it. What did that mean? Nothing. So this, let's keep this whole thing of American, and I spell it with a K, democracy, you know, off to one side. We have to live in a world of nations or neighbors, and we have to abide by certain standards. And that has not been the case for a long time for this demon. Okay? So talking about getting permission from Congress and all that means squat to me, actually, and to probably 7 billion people in the world. The only thing that gives them hope for tomorrow is that there is a certain international kind of standard or law that holds back people, chaos in the world. Well, and then may I add one other thing? What this punk has done, what this White House troll has done, is no different than what Obama was doing, droning civilians, and George W. Bush did. And even though Bush 41, the earlier one, got permission to engage in Gulf War I, it was a sadistic exercise. And so, you know, so much for all these parliamentary procedures. In any case, I have this is what I want to opine, and this is a very original thought. I didn't hear this from any of the talking heads. This is going to be the beginning of a sequence of events, much like what Bush 41 did to Iraq. You know, it was like, okay, we're going to have sanctions and no-fly zones. And then Bill Clinton upped the ante. You know, there were bombing raids every 2-3 a week. And this is the kind of thing that's going to go on, and which will probably culminate with another invasion of Syria. The United States does not want to see Assad win. And the fact that he was able to stay in power and rout out Daesh and the insurgencies, which are really proxies for bigger powers, but anyway, it has left a very, a grudge coming from Washington and the people who want to see change. So that's all I have to say. This is, of course, sad.
I agree with your point of view. However, I still make the point that about the issue of how war supposedly is to be declared under law in the United States, only to highlight the fact that while people think that there is a rogue president in Syria, there's a rogue president in the United States. The people have no buffer. The people have, this is what I talked about, as an ongoing theme. Where is our protection, our political protection? We are supposed to have the check and balance with the president and his actions, insofar as those actions are likely to cause us more pain than we ever would bargain for. So we have had a succession of rogue presidents. They're not listening. This is not, and yet, in the name of democracy, all these so-called actions are being taken because there's such a moral imperative. There's no moral imperative here. It is politically expedient. That's all it is. So I agree with you 100% on your points. Thank you. Khalil from North Carolina, you're on the air.
You trees.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm doing better now that I'm talking with you and the PRN family.
Thank you.
I'm very irritated with this illegal act led by neophytes and incompetence. Some people understand Syria is a sovereign country. It's a complicated civil war they have going over there. And we've not really had a real war since World War II, because most of these wars are all about protecting corporate markets and corporate interests, just as this one. This is about pipelines and energy running from Russia across the Middle East. That's number one. But number two, remember, the UN was sent into Syria years ago after a gas attack that Syria may or may not have done. And then at that point, Syria got rid of all their chemical weapons. The reason this is important is because the second time there was a gas attack, the professionals went in, and it was determined because, remember, chemical weapons like radioactivity, they have markers, and you can tell where it comes from, as you alluded to earlier. And people need to understand that. That's very important here. Because, once again, this is about money. This is what they did to Gaddafi. Gaddafi did not want to play ball with the West in terms of the capitalistic intentions. And that's what was done to him. That is a sovereign country. This is an illegal act. It is unjust. And look at who backed this up quickly, Israel, who also is always conducting illegal acts with weapons, like white phosphorus and other things that we send them. So maybe we need to get off, these people need to get off of these war drums and step back, get reeducated. You see, what we're living through now is a product of the dumbing down of America. Otherwise, we wouldn't be putting up with this mentally ill fascist in the first place. This is just a distraction to draw attention away from the grift and the unconstitutionality of this administration. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. But people need to do some research. And it's fine to be emotional, but get the emotions out of it, and then we have to become students of the empirical method. Let's look at the facts. Now, if we were attacked like that, you know, how would we feel? You know, Al-Assad has already said that this is not my doing. And, you know, as a sovereign country, we should take him at his word. And look at motive. People, most organisms, even if it's just one-celled organism, organisms do things out of motivation. This is why operant conditioning works.
But we don't have to take his word. Here's the thing. There are investigators working to ascertain whether, in fact, his word is good, that he didn't do this. They're still trying to figure out who did it. They still have not put a label on who did this and what kind of chemical gas attack this was. There has been no definitive statement from any investigative body so far as to those two questions.
Well, then this was an unjust, illegal act by many accounts and for many reasons. Do you agree?
Well, I certainly do. I agree also that this should concern us as citizens of a country. We cannot have a renegade president running around doing these kinds of things willy-nilly, recklessly, because clearly what he has done now has, you referred earlier to the bigger war that's coming. This is how these wars begin. You have people doing crazy things like this for political reasons. Oh, yeah, he looks like a big guy. He looks like a tough man. He looks, you know, oh, yeah, I'm beating up the Muslims. But in the meantime, he has taken us exponentially closer to a conflagration that could possibly have us pay more than we're willing to pay for, and without reason.
Are we ready for this proxy war? And if people don't understand what a proxy war is, I'll make it very simple. Russia backs Syria. We have now attacked Syria. It won't be long before we will be in conflict with Russia over this if we do not reevaluate this situation and hold to account this administration.
No question. And this is what people need to be, why we need to bring this man into some kind of check. This is reckless behavior in the extreme. We've had a succession of presidents go this route. You know, Trump's two sons are not going to go to war. They're not going to be dying on some foreign battlefield for America. You know,
no.
This is what we have to call him into account immediately. Thanks so much for your call today. You made some great points. Thank you. Let's see from Reggie from New Jersey. You're on the air.
Yes. Good afternoon to you and all the families of PIN.
Thank you. Thank you for both.
I don't want to be politically incorrect, but I want to applaud the way that President Trump handled this. From my understanding, President Trump notified everyone, the Russians and the Syrians, about what he was going to do before he did it. I think that was a very strong and noble act. We could talk about all the other ramifications for weeks on end, and many of the comments that I heard are totally correct. But I say that if this upsets you and upsets the population of the country with the possibilities of war and et cetera on down the line, I feel personally that we should stop really focusing in on the minutia. I really don't believe that I can blame President Trump, but in my estimation, I have to really try to focus my attention upon an unregulated intelligence community and an unregulated United States Senate, because this is where the power lies, in my estimation. Hello?
Yes, I'm listening. I listen very intently, you know.
Okay, well.
Sometimes it feels like I'm not here, but I am. I'm listening. Well, let me say this. What we're dealing with here, ultimately, too, is about the power of the citizen in what is considered a constitutional democracy. You may be proud of what he did because, you know, it was a thing that a stand-up guy would do. Okay. But, you know, that's not how the world works. The world community of nations, just like the United States has a constitution, the world community of nations has a constitution, and it is quite specific about how war is conducted, under what conditions, what you have to do. His picking up the phone and saying, hey, you know what, I'm sending some jets to blow up airstrips and stuff in Syria in about half an hour. That does not fly. They are specific, they are rules of engagement. You don't just do that. It's like when Obama decided to put up this preposterous notion that he was not really attacking another country. He was pursuing Al-Qaeda, which happened to be in somebody else's country. It's a stupid argument. There are rules of engagement. There are ways you are as a nation to conduct yourself. And internally, with regard to the citizens' relationship to the power of the president, that relationship of the citizens is expressed through the power of Congress. Presidents recently, the recent presidents, have had little or no regard for that. They don't see the need to inconvenience themselves in this matter, which, I mean, when you look at it, and I'm looking at it in the long haul here, okay, so you succeeded, you know, you did your bombing, and great, you get a chance to show your might. I'm not even going to pretend that this was morally initiated. Okay, I'm not even going to pretend that that was the motivation here. But I am going to say that such reckless unilateral action imperils all of us, and we should be concerned about that. This is not to say that we shouldn't do anything about innocent people being killed in such a brutal way. We should be concerned about a renegade president doing things that are likely to mushroom into something that nobody, even him, would be able to control.
Well, if you don't mind me making one last comment before I leave, I say that I understand and agree with a lot of what you said. However, from my age, my viewpoint, the ordinary citizen has very little impact upon the things that happens on the federal level. People talk about doing things locally, and I can understand that. But when it comes to the federal foreign policy, et cetera, on the line, I don't really believe that people have the ability to stand up and make their voices heard, because once you do that, you become into the sights of the intelligence community. And I believe that there's a lot of ramifications people are suffering on down the line once they engaged in this. So I just think that dissent has been stifled very effectively.
Well, we saw what the people's impact was during the Vietnam War. Had the individuals like Muhammad Ali and others, had they not stood up, it would have been incredibly unlikely that the government would have stopped. We don't have power. And the thing is, the presidents, Republican and Democrat, increasingly have taken on this idea that they are somehow imperial subjects, that they do not have to account to anybody for anything they do. They've got all these toys and they can use them. And they dare to suggest that they're using this perverted power in our name. I think we should strongly object to that. As much as I can't stand the idea of people having to suffer this kind of violence, I refuse to have people like Donald Trump conduct, supposedly in my name, any kind of unjust action or non-permitted activity in my name. No, we have rules.
Well, thank you for your time.
I'm not allowed to go and brutalize my neighbor because I can't stand my neighbor smoking. I'm not allowed unilaterally to take that kind of action. Why is the United States behaving like it could do anything without anybody's permission and outside of prescribed law? Thanks for your call. I appreciate it. And I agree with much of what you said. I think you made some very strong points. Jose from Queens, you're on the air.
Professor, how are you?
Okay. You cracked me up with that professor, the honorific. We're all professors here.
You know, it is coming from my heart. I must tell you this, that you have extreme amount of patience in how you interact with the last female caller. I couldn't believe it. But we have too many of our people here in America that thinks in that crazy way. And what is happening in this country, my prof, is that we are experiencing the actions, the behavior of imperialism and white supremacy. When I looked at the Republican politicians and the Democratic politicians, some of the Democrats might say, well, you know, we didn't authorize any action and so on and so. But he did correct in sending a message to Saddam, same thing. Assad from Syria. And now we are looking at a nation, a country who believes that it has the right to go into anybody's country and to bomb and to blast and to do whatever they want to do, to change regime, to do all kind of man of evil to these nations. When I look at this thing that went on with this last facade here of an election, and they're accusing the Russians of interfering in the a United States election. And when I think back of how many nations that this country has interfered, not only in their electoral process, but in regime change, government change, in taking people out, assassinating folks, putting who they want to put in. So, I mean, this is a height of hypocrisy. When I look at how much carnage the Israeli government has perpetrated on the people of Palestine, rob and plunder their land, and our tax dollars are helping them to create villages and settlements and so in those countries. And here we are in this country, and our communities are being gentrified. The interlopers, everybody's coming in and taking the property and building luxury condominiums and displacing poor people while our tax dollars are building settlements in Israel and other parts of the world. And when I look at how they have armed this Israeli state, and they are there as a pariah in the Middle East, in collaboration, there's a lot of mischief that was done in the Middle East by Israel and the U.S.'s lackeys, Saudi Arabia, and all these other countries. They have devastated the whole Middle East area, and the people don't have any time to recover, to develop, and to build, and that is the purpose of what they're doing. They test the weapons there. They give a ton load of money to the arms manufacturers in this country. And the people of America is sitting by and accepting this foolishness. Nobody is standing up. I don't see any mass movement, no anti-war, nothing has started to try and, because we're not going to put this man in check. Nobody's going to bail Donald Trump because he has a system behind him. Whether they be Democrats or Republicans, there is an imperialist system, a white supremacist system that is giving this man the power to do whatever he wants to do. Any country they feel like they can create the propaganda, they can prepare the people to accept the atrocities that they are going to commit in these countries. And it is done. So there are no checks and balances. You can't go to the United Nations for relief. You can't go to the Congress, the Senate, you can't go to Europe, you can't go anywhere. Right now, the African continent, my professor, is under siege because every one of these states in Africa, they have U.S. troops there and other European troops in these countries. So where do we turn? Where do we turn for help?
Well, we could try turning to each other. And this is the point about coalition building and creating critical political mass. Mm-hmm. We have to be able to exercise the power that we have, and allegedly shored up by our Constitution that says the people have the power. We have the power. We have not yet made a statement about Trump's rogue action. The United States was not under attack. The United States, in fact, attacked. And in as much as it is attacking, it better do so within the construct of laws. There's our domestic law, and then there's international law. And he broke both. He broke all of those laws.
There is nobody's laws.
He broke international law. International law says you can't decide whether the country that is being attacked is considered a renegade country. But even so, you cannot just attack a sovereign country.
But they have.
I know. This is my point. They've done this many times. And they've gotten away with it. The media reports today are not even considering this as a question because they have also taken sides.
They're far in
line.
And
their view is, hey, that matter is not even up for discussion. It is trivial. It's inconsequential. We need not worry about that. It's just another Muslim country. What do you care? It presumes that we don't care, and worse, that we shouldn't care that our country behaves this way continually. And yet, what is very daunting, as I've said, is that this kind of reckless action can bring upon all of us some consequences we will not be able to deal with. This is not a joke. This small thing will now realign the world. You're going to have those people who will say, ah, finally, the time has come to face this giant. And next thing you know, there's a major war on our hands. And we would be just like the people of Syria. We have nothing to do with the chaos and craziness around us.
Mm-hmm.
But we are reaping the consequences of the fights that they have among themselves, between and among themselves. This is the time to speak up. Thanks, Jose. Good to talk with you.
And as always, ancestral blessings be with you, my queen.
Thank you. And you too. Thank you so much. I know you mean it from your heart. Derek from Manhattan, you have a couple of minutes to yourself.
Sorry, what did you say?
You're Hello? On the air.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. Thank you for your show and the opportunity to comment.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, well, I mean, as the previous caller has pointed out, in spite of all these international protocols, the U.S. does what it feels like doing. Mm-hmm. It has a powerful military, and it can back up its misguided and illegal activities and dare anyone to challenge them. So you can move beyond that point, I think, because we have to figure out something else, because people that run the country and control the military, they do what they want to do in the world, for the most part, up to a point where they get spread too thin. And that's I guess that'll happen eventually.
What do you think is your obligation as an individual, as a private citizen?
Well, I'm a private citizen, but I'm also a biosphere-depleting Homo sapien. And everything I do is connected to the degrading of the biosphere. My lifestyle as American, as a human being on the planet in an industrialized country, is putting the nail in the coffin of the whole planet. Each day.
I'm talking about it with respect to this particular issue that we've been discussing, the U.S. military action against Syria. What do you see as your obligation, if you see yourself as having one, in the current situation?
Hey, well, I would encourage mass suicide for everybody who thinks that what they can do day to day is going to have an impact on anything if we live in our lifestyle the way we live in it. If that's going to make any difference, anything we think we can do, any rally, any organization, and we live in the way we do every day, draining the planet, throwing away stuff.
I get it. Why are you talking about, you know, the individual duty, if you will, to help prolong the life of the planet? But with respect to the United States and its military incursion and bombing of installations in Syria, what do you think you are obligated to do, if anything, about that?
Yeah, well, I'm obligated to take it in its context and to reference things. As you suggested earlier, I'm obligated to see where it's all connected. It's a symptom. It's a symptom of a disconnect between one human being and another and one human being and the rest of the world, the natural world. And that disconnect is based in our ideologies, our thoughts. So we all have our own thoughts and our own impressions, not our own, but they're influenced by our cultures, influenced by our experiences, and it separates us. We delve into our own head, and that automatically separates us from somebody else, even your twin, your identical twin. I've heard of identical twins wanting to kill one another. That's all psychological. That's all thought. So if we can go beyond that and just connect and feel and sense that interconnectedness between all of us, all living things, all this whole system, biosphere. I mean, if we don't do that, then, you know, whatever else we do is just a slow death.
Well, you just had the last word. Thank you so much for contributing today. Thank you all for contributing so meaningfully and so profoundly with your thoughts today. I always appreciate it because I think this is what we're supposed to be doing with radio, and especially here at PRN. We ought to be facilitating discussion. It doesn't matter whether we agree with each other or we disagree with each other. It is important that we become used to a different kind of culture, the culture in which we talk to each other and we listen intently, because the thoughts being offered are coming from somewhere within that person that is important to that person. And so we have to recognize that. But in any event, we continue the discussion. And that is the best antidote, I think, to the craziness that surrounds us and the best protection that we have. And by the way, it is one of the best forms of education, peer education, peer-to-peer education. Stay tuned. Coming up next, Alternative Visions with Dr. Jack Rasmus. You know you're going to learn something in that program. You can reach me at Lead Stories, L-E-I-D Stories, at gmail.com. It's a pleasure always and a great privilege to be in your company. And on this weekend, surround yourself with positive people and run like hell from people who are not. See you on Monday. Bye-bye.